This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue working our way through this letter, we've covered the first section where Paul is describing all of the blessings that are ours in Christ, the blessings of salvation. And now, at the end of this letter, he's been applying the gospel specifically to our relationships. What does it look like for us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? He described what that looks like when it comes to the relationship between husbands and wives. And now in chapter 6, we look at what that looks like for children and parents. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 1. But before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this morning I invite you to think of someone learning how to ice skate. No matter how hard they try, they're going to fall a few times, even if you have those little walker helper things. But as they keep on trying, the more and more you do it, the better you become at skating. Well, in a similar way, God is at work in us. He has set us apart as his children, and he's working, sanctifying us to be more and more like Christ. But we still struggle. We still want our way instead of God's way. We slip and we fall. And that's called sin. Boys and girls, this morning the sermon is specifically directed at you, specifically for you, a children's message, a message for the children. It's God calling you to obey your parents and him reminding us that when we obey, we are ultimately obeying Christ. But living as God's child is kind of like ice skating. Some days you do great and other days you fall back into sin. Mom asks you to help pick up the living room and you would rather keep on playing and so you pretend like you didn't hear her. And that's sin. You disobey mom and just fell hard onto the ice. Now when we fall, what's important for us to remember is that Jesus Christ obeyed the Father and died on the cross to forgive us when we disobey. Actually, when it comes down to it, the reason Christ came, lived a perfect life of obedience and died for our sins was because of our disobedience. This morning, God is telling us kids to obey mom and dad. He's telling us who we are. He's telling us how we should obey, and then he explains why we should obey. And these are really helpful things for us to remember, because just like ice skating, there's going to be days when we fall and we have to ask for forgiveness for our sins, for our disobedience, and then we need to get up and try again. We obey because that's what Jesus has done for us in our place to save us. As God's children in Christ, because of Christ's perfect obedience on our place, we obey and we honor our father and our mother and all those in authority over us, ultimately God, because that's exactly what Christ has done for us to save us, to redeem us. This morning, as we look at our passage, we're looking at, first of all, who are you? Secondly, what is God telling you to do? And then third, why should you do it? And so first, who are you? This is a question of identity. Paul is explaining and encouraging a healthy relationship between children and their and parents in the Lord. And if you remember the larger context here, this verse fits within that context of us ultimately submitting to Christ. Christ has saved us. You belong to him. Now, apply that gospel to your relationships. What does that look like specifically for you to submit to Christ when it comes to your marriage, husbands and wives? And now, what does that gospel mean for you as children and parents? How do you live that out? Children, boys and girls, young people, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I'm going to ask a simple question. Who is Paul talking to here at the beginning of verse 1? Who's Paul addressing? Who is this being written to? Well, the first word says it. Children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, Paul is talking to all of you kids, all of you children, boys and girls, young people. This is one of the few places in the Bible where you as kids are spoken to directly. Now, this is something that's easy to overlook, something that might get passed by, but it's actually something that's very unique and very special and also countercultural, not only in our own culture, but especially in the culture when this was written, for God's word to be addressing kids directly. What do I mean? Think back with me to when parents were bringing their children to Jesus to have them bless them. How did the disciples respond? Jesus doesn't have time for those kids. They were turning away the children and the parents from Jesus. He doesn't have time for that. And so you go from that attitude of the day to now an apostle, Paul, writing specifically to children and their parents. Something also to note and to highlight is that children were present with their parents when the letter of Ephesians was read to the gathering of believers. The children were hearing this letter and its instructions right alongside their parents. If the children were sent away during the worship service where this letter was read, then they wouldn't hear what God was saying to them specifically. But here, we have God's word speaking directly to you kids, to you children. Now, throughout Ephesians, there's been other times when Paul has mentioned children, but often he's referring to our spiritual state, either children of wrath or children of light or beloved children. So he's including adults here. But here, he is specifically talking to you, boys and girls, children. This is written to tell you how to live your life as kids, as children, how to obey mom and dad in a way that pleases the Lord. And so who are you? Well, first of all, you're children. But more specifically, you are children in the Lord. And that's the next part of this phrase, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord, those three words connect to obey. And what it means is that children are members of the covenant community along with their parents. So boys and girls, the first thing here to remember is that you belong to God. You have been set apart by baptism as God's own children. And because of that, you're called to repent or to say you're sorry for your sins and to hold on to the promise of forgiveness in Jesus Christ by faith. Children in the Lord. This is a foundational verse along with others for infant baptism. Paul's writing to children who are members of the covenant community in the Lord. Children of believers who are baptized because they belong to the Lord. This is who you are. Children of the Lord. Children in the Lord. But there's more. Obeying mom and dad in the Lord means that you're ultimately obeying Christ. You're ultimately obeying Jesus. We're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We see that back in chapter 5, verse 21. We're submitting to those in authority over us out of reverence for Christ. And specifically here, children, you're called to submit and obey and honor mom and dad because of Jesus. In the Lord here means the same thing as saying, obey your mom and dad just as you would obey Christ. Now, maybe when mom and dad ask you to do something, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Maybe when they say, pick up your clothes or quit picking on your sister, it's easy to ignore. Pretend that you don't hear. But what if Jesus himself asked you to do something? What if Jesus said, I want you to give that toy back to your sister, or don't yell at your brother? We'd probably pay a little more attention, wouldn't we? And that's what's going on here. Paul is explaining how children, when you are obeying your parents, you are ultimately obeying Christ. In the letter to the Colossians, Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So the bigger picture here is that we aren't obeying our parents because they've earned it or because of who they are. Because they're such great parents. Because when it comes down to it, our moms and our dads are sinners just like we are. We obey because ultimately we love Christ and what he has done for us. He loves us enough, loved us enough to obey his Father perfectly in our place, give up his life for us on the cross to forgive us for our disobedience. So ultimately, when we obey mom and dad, we're obeying Jesus. That's who we're doing this for. In a few verses, Paul's going to say, tell slaves, tell servants to obey their masters as if they were serving the Lord. As if they were serving and working for Jesus, not man. And the similar thing is true for you as children, as boys and girls. When you're obeying mom, it's not just mom and dad who you're obeying. You're ultimately obeying Jesus. Boys and girls, I want you to think about something else. Think about this. Mom and dad are also trying to obey Jesus. Jesus tells mom and dad to teach your kids, to raise these kids, to know about me and to love me. And when they are trying to parent you and instruct you and encourage you and warn you and teach you about Jesus, they're ultimately obeying Jesus. And when you are obeying what they're teaching, instructing, and training you in the Lord to do as parents, as when they're parenting you, when you obey them, you are obeying Jesus. So ultimately, we are doing what we are called to do as parents and children in obedience, out of respect, out of reverence for Christ, who has given us callings as kids, as children, and as parents. Who are you? You are children. Children who are in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. And what is God, secondly, what is God telling you to do? That's our second point this morning for those of you who are taking notes. What is God telling you to do? Well, very simply, what God is telling you to do is obey your parents. Children are commanded to obey their parents, to listen and hear what their parents are saying and to do what their parents say. So here, when it comes to obedience, we have two parts. The first is listening and hearing what they say, even when you don't want to hear what they are saying. And then the second part is doing what they said, following their instructions, listening to their warnings and their encouragement. Now, this whole process of obedience would be easy if it weren't for something called sin. Because of my sin, I don't want to obey my parents. Because of my sin, I want to do my own thing. Boys and girls, young people, you might be thinking, I don't want to obey my parents because they're not fair. They just don't understand. They don't get it. They aren't in touch with reality. They're so annoying. They're so embarrassing. They are overbearing. And you know what? When it comes down to it, you might be right. But the point is that your parents, just like you, aren't perfect. They also are sinners. They're going to mess up in keeping what God tells them to do. But that doesn't mean that children obey your parents has small print down at the bottom unless they give me unrealistic expectations. Or a curfew that's too early. Or unless I decide that they're overbearing or embarrassing. No, it's a call to obey your parents in the Lord, because you're ultimately obeying Christ. And the best example, the best model of this obedience that we are called to have for our parents is the obedience of Christ, who obeyed his Father perfectly to accomplish our salvation. Not only perfect obedience towards his heavenly Father, but also perfect obedience and submission to his earthly parents as well. Now, as we think about this command to obey, something for all of us to keep in mind is that our obedience is never to earn something from God. It's never in hopes of getting something for God. Like, I'm going to obey your command here, and I'm hoping to get something, some kind of return on my investment here. Our obedience is because of what we've already been given in Christ. And Paul has spent the whole first part of this letter explaining all of the benefits and all the blessings that are ours, all the blessings of our salvation. If you turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, there you have Paul listing out all of the blessings that are ours. Children in the Lord, they've been set apart by baptism as God's own children. They've given the promise of salvation, forgiveness by faith. And there you have it all listed out, all of these blessings of salvation, adoption, redemption through his blood. That's verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, the forgiveness, jumping down to 11, obtained an inheritance. So you have this eternal life, this inheritance. You've been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will. 13, the gospel of your salvation, you have faith, believed in him, sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until you receive it to the praise of his glory. So here is what you have been given, and it's in light of that salvation, that deliverance that is yours in Christ, that now God tells you how to live as his children, children in the Lord. Your obedience and mine is because of what God has done and is doing when it comes to our salvation and forgiveness. We don't obey to get on God's good side or to win his favor. We obey because he's already shown us his favor and his good side in Jesus Christ. And then given us his Holy Spirit to enable us, to fill us with the power to obey. And God's work of this salvation didn't just begin right before you believed. It didn't just begin right before you were born. It began before the world was even created. And that's the good news of the gospel, that God first gives you everything, the fullness of salvation and forgiveness of sins, and then he tells you how to live as his forgiven child. In grace, he gives us what we could never earn on our own at all. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the second part of what we're being told to do here is in verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Here Paul is pulling in the fifth commandment as he's explaining our obedience to our parents. The catechism asks, well, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show. And the answer is that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother. But then it goes further. It expands this command. And all those in authority over me. I submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline. And also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. What's going on here is that the obedience that we learn as children is the same obedience that we will show to those in authority over us. And ultimately, the obedience we will show to God. If a child dishonors and disobeys their parents, then he or she will most likely have that same attitude towards God. Here we're being called to honor our father and mother. The obedience is an expression of that honor, because honor is an attitude of our hearts. It's the way we think about someone in a positive way. We honor them. We hold that person in a position of honor. And when we do that, we naturally are inclined to do what they tell us to do, to obey them. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Now, I mentioned that this passage is specifically for the kids. But it's actually for all of us. Because as we grow, our relationship with our parents transitions and matures. So what does this passage, what does obeying and honoring your parents, your father and your mother, what does it mean for you university students, for those of you who are in your late teens or early 20s and in that transitional time of life, kind of at home but moving out of home, becoming more independent? In a few weeks, the semester's going to wrap up. You'll be heading back home for the summer for some of you. And one of the challenges in moving back home is that you move back to your old bedroom. The one you had when you were in high school, and you move back to all the old rules that you had when you were in high school. You've been away. You've been independent. You've made decisions on your own. You may have even done your laundry on your own. And now you're moving back home and feeling that pressure to be under those old rules, and it feels like a step backwards. What does obeying your parents, honoring your father and mother look like in that situation? It looks like asking them for their thoughts, asking them for their advice, valuing their insight, listening to what they tell you, especially if it's thoughtful and intentional. It looks like listening when mom expresses encouragement or concerns about this or that relationship, or dad gives some insightful suggestions on decisions you're trying to make. They love you and they know you. And mom and dad, you have the opportunity to wait for them to ask for your thoughts and advice. But we'll pick more on you more as parents next Sunday, Lord willing. A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, we saw in the previous section. And the two shall become one flesh. So what does that look like? What does this mean for parents to give that blessing to that relationship? For the guy who's dating this girl to ask her dad if he can have permission to propose to her and marry her. Kevin DeYoung explains it like this: the men of my generation, more than my parents' generation, seem eager to ask for explicit permission from their future father-in-law before popping the question. Now, I don't know how many of you are engaged currently, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to ask if you asked your father first for permission. And you may think, well, that's just an old tradition, but what does this tradition do? It shows respect for the father's authority. It's not a direct biblical command. You have to go and have that awkward conversation with her dad before you can ask her to marry you. But honoring your parents here is commanded. And so asking for their blessing, listening to what they say, if they have concerns, making sure that you have a lot of patience with that and are even willing to delay getting married if needed. Do you trust your parents? Do you know that they love you and are committed to your good? That they know you and have invested themselves in raising you and encouraging you and correcting you and warning you and teaching you and praying for you? Because then your relationship with them is going to grow and it's going to mature and it's going to continue to grow and mature until those roles are reversed and you are the one taking care of them. Now we're talking about adult children who possibly have children of their own. What does it look like to honor your father and your mother when you get to the point in life where you're the one caring for them? We honor our father and mother by being loyal to them. This comes into practice when our parents get old. They may need help. They may need encouragement and support. They're going to be lonely and will need visits. Our culture worships youth, which means that the older generation is disrespected. Instead of thinking this person is older and probably has a whole lot more experience than I do and something to teach me that I don't know yet, our culture thinks that person is old and out of date, has nothing to contribute to society, and is best disposed of. Honor your father and your mother. Who you are? Child in the Lord. What God is telling you to do, obey and honor your father and mother. And third and finally, why? Why should you do it? Why should you obey? Why should you honor? So often, the reason that we obey is because we don't want the consequences or the punishment of disobeying. What do I mean? The reason our stomach sinks when we fly past the police officer hiding on the side of the road is not because we think, oh no, I have just failed to submit to those in authority over me, which means that I've ultimately failed to submit to God who's put them in a position of authority over me. That's not what's happening. The reason our stomach sinks, the reason my stomach sinks, is because I don't want a ticket. I don't want to be punished for what I've just done. Our motivation isn't conscience to do what is right, but rather a fear of punishment, not wanting to pay the fine. Now, as Christians, we obey those in authority not just because of what will happen if we don't. If we apply this to the kids, it's not just because you're going to get punished or disciplined if you don't obey. The primary and the more basic reason why we obey, why we honor, is because it's right. And how do we know what is right? God tells us what is right. And right now he's telling us that obeying our parents is right. Boys and girls, that's why obeying, listening and doing what mom and dad tell you is so important. We aren't just obeying mom and dad because we're afraid of getting punished or the consequences if we don't. When we obey mom and dad, we're ultimately obeying God, who says this is right. Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's not about us first and foremost submitting to that authority figure. It's first of all about us submitting to God. It's out of our love for him. So why should you do it? Why should you obey? Why should you honor? First, it's right to obey. Second, Paul says that this is the first command with a promise. Verse 2, if you have your Bibles open, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, and it's the only command with a promise. And here's that promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now that's a really interesting promise or a really interesting motivation for obedience. You can just imagine the mom with her child in the grocery store, telling the little one, hey, you need to listen and do what you need to behave. And Junior asks, well, why? And she responds that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And he's left there wondering, what in the world are you talking about? So what does this even mean? What is this promise? What does it mean for us today? Well, for us to understand what this promise in the fifth commandment means for us today, we need to understand what it meant for the people of Israel in the past, God's people. Here you have a specific promise. You think of Exodus 20, where we have the Ten Commandments given. They've just been delivered from slavery. God is basically saying, I just saved you, I just delivered you, and now I'm going to tell you how to live as my children. Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother in the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So they're about to go into the promised land. Here are the train rails that I want you to ride on. This is what it looks like to live as my children, so that you will live long in the land, the promised land that we're headed towards. Now, did God's people, Israel, live long in the land that the Lord gave them? The answer is no. Why? Because of their disobedience. They didn't obey. They were kicked out of the land because of their disobedience. They were sent into exile. So now, what does this promise mean for us? Something that's very helpful for us to keep in mind about this promise is that Paul is reapplying or repeating the fifth commandment to Christian readers. And as he does so, he's leaving out a specific reference to the promised land. He states the first part, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. But notice what he's leaving out. He leaves off that the Lord your God is giving you. And so all of a sudden, it's more than just about life here and now and this specific section of real estate. God doesn't promise all obedient children a long life, as though as believers we can add to our days by, or earning more days of life by obeying our parents. That's not what's going on here. That's not what's being promised. There have been many believers who have been obedient to their parents and have still died when they were young. However, just like that train running smoothly on the tracks compared to the train that's derailed. Children who honor their parents, who try to obey them, and ultimately God, avoid the consequences of those who are disobedient and foolish. This is wisdom that Paul is referring to here. Proverbs 1, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Why? For they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck. They are good things. Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So it's wise to obey and honor your father and mother. If you look at the Old Testament and the consequences for disobedience, in the Old Testament, if you disobeyed mom and dad, if you talked back or cursed them, it was the death penalty. You didn't live that long if you disobeyed. But here we're confronted with the fact that God's people were not able to enjoy the full blessings of this promise of land and life because of their disobedience. Because they didn't honor their father and mother. And the same can be said of us today. If this promise depended on our obedience, if this was a you reap what you sow, then there's no hope for all of us because we all have disobeyed. We all have fallen short of the obedience that God is calling us to. What is there to look forward to? Because each one of us has broken this command. But the good news is that God the Father sent his one and only Son who honored his Father and obeyed his Father perfectly in your place. His perfect obedience is your perfect obedience through faith. As if you had never sinned nor been a sinner. As if you had been as perfectly obedient as he was obedient to his Father. And along with that comes the promise, the reward of it going well and living long in the land. Not life right here and right now or geographically in Palestine, but eternal life and the new heavens and the new earth that is ours in Christ. In this way, the promise isn't just for the here and the now, but it also looks forward to something much greater in Jesus Christ. And that's how this promise remains true for us today. A promise that is much broader and richer through the work, through the obedience of Christ. We obey because this is what Jesus has done for us in our place. As God's children, children in Christ, because of Christ's perfect obedience in our place, we obey and we honor our father and mother, those in authority over us, and ultimately God, because that's what Jesus has done for us in our place to make us his children and then call us to obey and honor. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, confessing all of the times we have disobeyed, all of the ways that we have fallen short of keeping this command. Your Spirit and your Word, they convict us and we realize how short we fall and how desperately we need the obedience of Christ, who obeyed in our place, whose perfect obedience is ours through faith. Lord, we ask that in light of this forgiveness and salvation, that you will fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to do what you have called us to do as your children, as we strive to obey our parents, to honor our father and mother, and ultimately you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.